Welcome to the Arlen Suderman Commodity Outlook. I'm your host, Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. Join me as we break down the latest developments in the global economy, energy, and agriculture, from macroeconomic trends to crop fundamentals. Learn to navigate market volatility with confidence. Stay informed, stay ahead.
The trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter, OTC products, or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. Copyright 2026. All rights reserved.
Price is a function of supply and demand as modified by the flow of money. Good morning. This is Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. It's a little after 8:30 in the morning on Friday, May the 15th. We're halfway through the month of May, essentially. In the markets, the commodity markets are in the ag side are under pressure this morning. And that statement that I gave to open things up this morning is one that I have on a slide that I've opened nearly every public appearance presentation as well as webinar over the last quarter century with. And it has been, it's more true today than it ever has been. Market still does manage supply and demand, but it's modified by the flow of money. And there's a lot of things that impact that flow of money today, billions of dollars that are flowing in and out of these commodity markets. And for the investors who are controlling, maybe I should say the computers that are controlling that money, because the majority of trades are actually put on by computers today. Perception is reality, and that perception is often shaped by the headlines of the day, whatever that may be. Coming into this week, I did a video for you that was about how pivotal this week would be. First, we had on Tuesday the USDA crop report, where they would lay out, the USDA would lay out its expectations for supply and demand for the various crops over the 2026-27 marketing year. That would then set the table through which all other news would be filtered going forward over the next several months. Then we would have the vote on E15 in Congress in the House of Representatives, allowing E15 to be sold year-round. And that vote would take place mid-week. And then we'd have President Trump late week in China, in Beijing, for a summit with President Xi. And the hope was that there would be some type of concrete trade agreement above and beyond what was agreed to in that handshake agreement last October to sell more U.S. ag commodities to China. So how would all that play out? Well, it started off okay with the USDA report on Tuesday, really quite bullish for the commodities overall, tightening the supplies as we go forward into the next year, particularly for wheat and for corn, adequate supplies of soybeans, but coming in a little tighter than what was anticipated, and tightening from the year before as well. But even there, USDA didn't really increase their export target that much, only 100 million bushels, only about 3 million metric tons more than the previous year, when we had a verbal commitment from China to increase their purchases of U.S. soybeans by 13 million metric tons for the coming year. So that seemed to provide a little bit of skepticism. But nonetheless, we saw a massive amount of money flow come in, part of it also fed by the low ball estimate of USDA of this year's winter wheat crop with all the weather problems that we've had to this point in the growing season. And optimism really abounded. That was followed by the House of Representatives vote on E15. If passed, I think it was 218 to 203 on the vote. That moves it to the Senate. It's going to have a lot more obstacles in the Senate. That's going to be a tougher fight in the Senate. I don't think getting past the Senate is a given by any means, but this is further than this bill has ever gotten to this point, and President Trump has promised to sign it if it reaches his desk. So again, some positive news. Then we have President Trump going to China, to Beijing on Wednesday, leaving on Friday. 2 days of really very good talks there, quite high quality talks. A number of U.S. executives there. China agrees to buy reportedly 200 Boeing aircraft. President Trump opens the way for China to buy some high-quality chips from NVIDIA, not their highest quality, as I understand it, maybe their second highest quality chip from NVIDIA. And reportedly a lot of good discussions about potential other deals, but not a lot of substance about those other deals. And I think really the negativity came out Wednesday night, our time in the United States, when the headline hit that Treasury Secretary Bessent, when asked about any deal on ag, said, well, the soybean deal, that issue has already been dealt with, taken care of by the October agreement. And that includes another 25 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans going to China in each of the next 3 years. And as I have previously stated in this video, that with the strong biofuel program that we had announced this spring, we won't have 25 million metric tons of soybeans to sell China with the strong biofuel program, because our domestic demand will take too many of those soybeans unless we can significantly increase our acreage that we devote to soybean production above and beyond what is currently committed to or planned on. And China, with U.S. prices being roughly a dollar above Brazilian prices, and that's before the retaliatory tariffs, private crushers aren't going to buy U.S. soybeans, so they'd have to be bought by Sinograin, the state grain buyer, put into the reserve. They could be auctioned off later at a discount, but that would be a significant financial commitment to the Chinese government, which is already stretched trying to prop up its economy. And why not buy other commodities? So I had argued at the time that I expected that 25 million metric tons to be negotiated down in exchange for buying more other U.S. ag commodities. And there had even been rumors from people close to the negotiations that corn and DDGs, dried distillers, grains, and solubles were under consideration. And maybe they still are. And I still think there's a good chance they could. But what we got out of it was a statement from President Trump that China had committed to buying double-digit billions of U.S. ag commodities. Well, if you take the agreement as it currently is, the 25 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans per year, 25 million metric tons would give you double-digit billions of dollars of trade to China in just 1 year. So in essence, you could do 25 million metric tons spread over 3 years, and that's the statement that was made, is double-digit billions over the next 3 years. That would mean maybe 8 million metric tons per year. And I could see that being a more realistic target. But that's a big disappointment to investors who were hoping for more. I still do anticipate more ag commodity trade with China. There's some indication that they would like our beef, and I've stated that before, but I said I didn't think President Trump would allow our beef supplies to be tightened further ahead of the midterm elections, pushing prices even higher. But if he removes the 26% tariff on Brazil, we could see quite a triangulation there of Brazil beef coming into the United States, and they've already hit their quota in China, and then it could flow into China. So we could see all kinds of things happen. And I still think the possibility is there for some corn and maybe some milling quality wheat and continued purchases of grain sorghum and perhaps some poultry. A host of other things could still happen. But for now, the focus is on the disappointment, a lack of concrete details of any big commitments. And so we're seeing the sell-off in the grain and oil seeds. Keep in mind that also before this week came, we saw these grain and oilseeds see big gains based on inflation trade and the fertilizer story. Those are still very much at play. It's just illustrated by what we're seeing in the Treasury market this morning. 10-year Treasury yields at essentially one-year highs. 2-year Treasuries, similar. As Treasury yields are popping higher on long-term inflation concerns because of what's happening with evidence now that the Iran war may linger for quite a bit longer. And even though crude oil prices look like they've stabilized around the $100 level right now, $100 per barrel, we anticipate that supplies globally are going to continue to tighten until the Strait of Hormuz reopens, and that doesn't look like it's anytime soon. But even a month or two or longer after that, depending on infrastructure repairs that need to be done, et cetera, and how much additional damage is done between now and then. That's more inflationary pressures. I went over before how in times of inflation, the funds tend to want to own those commodity sectors that have the highest correlation with the CPI. And over the last 10 years, that's been the grain and oilseed sector and the energy sector. We also talked about in the past the national debt problem and how that is squeezing the credit markets. $1.5 to $2 trillion of additional debt certificates offered each year means you need to attract new buyers to the debt markets, and you have to use yields to do that. And that pulls money away from the private credit markets while pushing yields higher as well and contributing to inflation as well. All these factors are positives for money flow into grain and oilseeds, but that doesn't matter today because the money flow, remember I started this presentation, is negative. How long will that negativity continue? Part of it is a chart story. We turned the charts, and so now the chart signals are driving the money flow into grain and oilseeds. I believe that all of these stories that were previously true will return at one point, but from what level will we then be trading? That is a key question going forward, and the chart technicians will try to identify some of those targets at which we might see a turn, but that just means there's a series of layers. Which layer will the market settle in, and we start seeing bargain hunters come back in to buy, et cetera. We still have a tightening wheat supply. Fertilizer over the coming year is expected, particularly in 2027. So that's a longer-term story in which we anticipate that fertilizer will reduce global production of corn and wheat and other crops, further tightening global supplies. We are not running out of supplies globally now at this time. There may be regional spot shortages, particularly in countries without the income to pay the higher prices, but certainly we're not running out yet. But we do anticipate, particularly if this reduced fertilizer availability continues much longer, that 2027 will be a critical year for reducing global output and further tightening supplies. But that, again, is a long-term story. That allows times like now when money flow momentum is to the other direction, and that's a risk that producers always have to be aware of, and it's an opportunity that end users will be periodically granted. So the volatility continues. I anticipate that we will continue in a volatile market, which means it's all that much more important that you have a risk management plan in place, whether you're a producer or an end user, to focus on the margins, focus on the bottom lines, and staying in business for another year. This is Arlen Suderman. Be sure to like and subscribe to continue to receive these updates from the trading floor. I'll be back with you as more headlines emerge to shape that money flow. Thank you.
The trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter, OTC products, or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. Copyright 2026, all rights reserved.